Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Who had a good winter break? Right? Who had a good Valentine's Day? Yeah, a couple of us. Remember, gentlemen, it doesn't have to be Valentine's Day to bless your lady. Or any lady. Remember that. Hey, it's my privilege and pleasure today to introduce one of my good friends. And not only a good friend, but someone who's more like a spiritual grandfather and a spiritual pillar, not only in the community of Holland, but in the kingdom of God. Today, we have the pleasure to hear from Dr. Bill Brownson here, and his beloved wife, Helen, is also with us today, and I'd like us to give them a warm Hope College welcome, please. We're in the school of prayer, listening to the Psalms, and I don't know if there's anyone who's taught me more about what it means to be faithful and to persevere and to pray without ceasing with thanksgiving than Bill Brownson. And he has recently just come out with this book, A Pilgrimage in Prayer, One Man's Journey, where he's talked about his life as a man of prayer. And we are making these available for free at the Keppel House. Is that right? We're gonna get a box of these books. So if anyone would like to read his spiritual autobiography on prayer, please do so. And today, he's come, as we kind of launch into the after winter break and into the second half of the semester, just to hear from one of the Sequoias about the consequence and what it requires and an invitation to a life of prayer. So would you one more time welcome our brother and good friend, Bill Brownson.
Bless you. Bless you. Let me give tribute first to my wonderful wife, Helen, who's right here. She has had a lot of physical difficulties in the last few years. I've learned a lot about being a servant. I've learned a lot about prayer and being with her and taking care of her. She's the heart of my book and of everything that I've been able to do. So I honor my wife, Helen. Then I say to you how thrilled, how thankful I am to be able to talk to all of you about prayer. What I want to say to you today is that you are chosen to pray. Yes, you. Any of you who trust in Jesus, who have in your heart something of a desire to follow him, you are chosen to pray. I want to tell you a little bit about how that dawned on me and how that shaped my life. When I was 16, that was a lot of years ago, I was a kid who loved sports and hated to go to church. We had a kind of a church where I never heard any gospel, I never heard anything that I remembered, and I hated to go. I used to get jobs on Sunday morning to avoid it. But one night, the summer before my senior year, a friend of mine talked to me under a streetlight, and he said, "Bill, what do you think it means to be a Christian?" I didn't really have a clue. Jack explained to me who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God in a human life, the kind of life of love he lived, the way he died on the cross for our sins. That was all new to me. God raised him from the dead. He was alive forever. If I would confess my sins and invite him into my life, he would come and give me true life, eternal life. And that broke over me like a sunrise. I knew I had found the truth that really mattered in life, and it was life-changing. My friend gave me some Navigator's scripture verse memory cards, and the one that I remember most that went like an arrow to my heart was one that may be familiar to many of you, John 15:16. It goes like this. Jesus said to his disciples and to me through his word, "You have not chosen me, but what? I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Now that shaped my whole life. That gave me something to live for that has been my stay and my story in all the years since. You know, I grew up in a home where my mother was an actress and a director of plays. She wanted me to move into that. She took me when I was a little kid to try to get me a part in a movie in MGM Studios. That failed happily. I had an uncle who wanted me to go to Yale and then to law school and then to politics. He felt that was the shortest route to the White House. So my mother and my uncle had rather grandiose dreams for me. Mine was different. I wanted to play baseball for the New York Giants. Now that tells you how old I am. The Giants haven't been in New York for over 50 years. But that's what I wanted. But then that night, that verse came to me and I knew I wasn't going to act. I wasn't going to be in politics. I wasn't going to play baseball. I was going to follow Jesus. I was going to share his gospel with people. And it was going to have an effect that would last. And I've lived with that and celebrated that ever since. But you know, I didn't realize until quite a bit later that that's not the end of the verse. It goes on like this. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Well, that sort of blew my mind that all of this is to lead up to being a person who can really pray, who can really pray in the name of Jesus and pray effectual, powerful prayers. And that just that was just astounding to me. But then I, you know, I've studied all my life the prayer life of Jesus, and I saw how this was absolutely central to everything he did. From the moment of his baptism, he's praying, the scriptures tell us. At the very last breath before he dies, he's praying. Before he chooses the disciples, he prays all night. He goes a great while before day to some solitary place to pray. He interrupts busy scenes of ministry to go off to a deserted place for time in communion with the Father. He's praying just before Peter makes his great confession. He's praying just before the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. He's praying in the anguish of Gethsemane. Prayer is everything in his life. And then when he dies and rises from the dead and ascends to the right hand of God, what does he do? He ever lives to intercede for us. In other words, prayer is the crowning, culminating work of what he came to do. His life, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign, all so that he can ever pray for us. And so that gave me the clue that what God is more concerned about than anything else is building people who really pray, because he knows that the people who pray are the ones who are instrumental in changing the world according to his design. It's not that prayer is magic or is super virtuous. It brings you in touch with the God who makes all things new. That's why prayer is so central, has been always, in the lives of those who seek God. I want to urge upon you to think about that. Now, not all prayers are very significant. Some are shallow. Some are self-centered. Some are superficial. Some are half-hearted. I've prayed a lot of those myself. But Jesus taught us how to pray prayers that are powerful and life-changing. And you know what those are. There are six of them. And they're in the prayer that you've said hundreds of times, the Lord's Prayer. I mean, when you pray, Father, let your name be hallowed, you're asking that he will be praised in your life and in the larger community. You're asking that more and more people will come to know him and praise him throughout the world. You're praying that laborers will be sent out into the harvest so the gospel can be spread. That's life-changing. That's world-changing. When you pray your kingdom come, you're praying that his reign will be more complete in your life, that you'll be more surrendered to his will, seeking first his kingdom. And you're praying that many, many people will bow the knee to him. When you pray, thy will be done, you're praying that his will be done among the nations, in the UN, in the World Bank, in the rulers of the nations, in people in high places. You're praying the will of God will be done in every branch of the church, in our obedience, in our witness, in our care for people, in our worship, in our ministry to one another. When you're praying, thy will be done, you when praying, give us this day our daily bread, you're bringing before God a world in need and praying that hungry will be fed and people in need will be ministered to. And when you pray for forgiveness and for the power to forgive, that's a world-changing prayer. When people can know the wonderful forgiving grace of God and know what it is to be able to forgive others, and all the terrible anguish of the world can be relieved by that. When you're praying that we'll be delivered from every evil power. Oh, friends, if you were to spend 10 minutes every day praying those six prayers and asking God to do wonderful things through them, you would begin to be a part of changing the world. I urge you to do that. I urge you to learn what it is to pray with other people. Nothing has been so rich for me in my life than praying with people. Bob down here is a man I've prayed with for 35 years every week. And the people you're closest to in the world are those you've poured out your hearts to. I want you, I want all my grandchildren about your age to be a praying people, to be a part of a generation not so captivated by gadgets, not so ensnared by the views of this culture, that you can spend time with God, that every day you can listen to his voice in the word and you can call on his name. And that's what changes the world. Listen to this one vision with which I close. There's this eighth chapter of Revelation that gives us this picture. There's the angel that has the golden bowl filled with the prayers of the saints and with incense mixed in with them. And those are being put on the altar and they're rising before God. And then the angel takes a censer and fills it with the fire from the altar and throws it on the earth. And then you peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And what God is saying to that is the forces that shake history are the prayers of the saints touched by the mighty fire of God. I want to be the kind of person who prays prayers like this. Don't you? Let's pray. Oh God, hear our cry. Raise us up to be people who pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.